Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We thank the Lord for 18 years now we have been bringing these broadcasts to you. And we thank the Lord for all the prayer, the provision for the radio station, and most of all for you, the listener, for tuning in every week. And so we thank the Lord for this day. It's a day He's made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. This is a big subject in the Bible. It's a big subject in our lives and a big subject in the church and in our nation. And so this is going to be a great series. We're going to go at it with several parts in this series, helping you to understand individual deliverance and deliverance over a nation, deliverance over your church. And so this is going to be a great series, and you will not want to miss even one session of it. So if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Ephesians chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 10 there in just a minute. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Before we get into this message, just want to give you an update of what's going on here in Africa. We're in the fall planting season. We have all of our maize and other crops, beans, and ground nuts, vegetables. We have everything planted, and it's starting to rain just about every day now, every other day at any rate. And so we're getting lots of rain. The crops are up, and so we feel really good about that. The children are in school, and we have one more term of the school year, and they'll be in school till December 1st. And then at that time, they're out for about 30 days and go back right after the Christmas break. So we have lots of projects going. If you want to contribute and support any of these projects, we'd love to have you support them. Want to see many things yet done. We want to build a school out there at Makunda. And so we have some land already purchased, want to build a school. So if you would be interested in that project, email me and we'll get the information to you to help you understand that project and get behind it and support it for our village children. Well, today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare. And as I said, this is part one of spiritual warfare. It's a big, big subject in the Bible. It's a big subject in our lives, a big subject in the church. The focus of many of the projects, focus of many of the mission in the church is to deal with spiritual warfare or deal in spiritual warfare. And so this is a subject that you can speak on for hours and hours and many, many radio sessions or preach from the pulpit. But the overview here is that we are in a battle in the spirit realm, in the unseen realm. We are in a battle, and every single person is in that battle. Jesus said, you're either with me, you either gather with me, or you scatter. And so every single person on the earth, without fail, is in a spiritual battle. That's what makes living on the earth such a battle, such a struggle, is that you have an enemy. If you're a born-again believer, you have an enemy, and that enemy is the devil, Satan, the Lucifer, the Shining One. And so that enemy is doing everything he can to tear you away from the kingdom of God. And if you're not a born-again believer, if you're listening to this message today, and you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you never confessed your sins and repented and turned away from your sins, and you're not walking with the Lord, then you're on the other side of the coin. You're on the other side of the battle, and you are not covered by the blood of Jesus. You're not covered, and you're not blessed by the blood of Jesus. You're just in that, you're in that battle as one who doesn't understand the battle that you're in. And so maybe some of the things that we talk about today will help explain to you the battle that you're in and what is your place in that battle. And again, I want to quote Jesus. He said, you either gather with me or you scatter. And so there's no specific gray area in between. You're not sitting on the fence. You're either in the kingdom of God or in your kingdom of darkness, and you are not being covered by the blood, the shed blood of Jesus. And so that is the overview there of spiritual warfare. Well, the devil has his hierarchy, and he has his minions, he has his troops, you might say. And so the Apostle Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 6, and verse 10, we'll start in verse 10. And he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against rulers of darkness, and against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." Well, that is quite a package of description there, describing the demonic realm. And so Paul is saying to you, he's saying to me, to every Christian, he's speaking to the brothers and sisters in the church in Ephesus, and this is a new Christian church, baby believers, and he's saying, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Well, let me just stop right there and say, without the power of God, without the power of the Holy Spirit to give us wisdom, to give us counsel, to be our advocate, our paraclete, our advocate and counselor, we have no power, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And so we have no power to stand up to the power of the enemy. And if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, number one, you're not in the kingdom of God. Number two, you are either cooperating with the enemy or you're ignorant of the enemy's advances and the enemy's place in your life. And so come to the Lord Jesus, I would suggest, and I would encourage, and I would beseech you, come to the Lord Jesus with your life, with your sin, and repent of your sin, and turn from your wicked ways, and the Lord Jesus will encourage you, he will strengthen you, he will save you, he will be your Lord and your Savior, and so then you are full bore in the spiritual battle. So as a believer, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Again, how do you get strong in the Lord? You stand firm in the gospel. You stand firm on what God says in his word. You pray to the Lord every day, and you ask the Lord to strengthen you in ways that you're weak, strengthen you in ways that you have given in to the devil in your life. Even if you are a born-again believer, the devil doesn't quit hammering you. In fact, just the opposite. He will come at you in a stronger way. He may circumvent and go around and attack you from behind or attack you in your weakness, maybe not in the same way that you were attacked when you were walking with the devil, when you were walking in the kingdom of darkness, but he will find a way to keep attacking you through familiar spirits, through spirits that have been with your family and dogged your family and tracked your family for centuries. And so you have to be strong in the Lord, and we'll take up more of that later, how to establish yourself in the kingdom of God against the wiles of the devil. And then he says in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one, or the devil. Well, the whole armor, I'm not going to talk about it today. We'll take that up in another session. But the whole armor is the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith out in front of you, and the sword of the Spirit, the offensive weapon of the weapons of your spiritual warfare. The offensive weapon is the sword of the Spirit. And so Paul is saying, put on the whole armor of God. Well, the armor of God is Jesus Christ. That is the armor. And every one of those pieces you could explain, and we will at a later date, you could explain that the whole armor of God is Jesus Christ. You are covered with Christ. when you were baptized, you're clothed with Christ and you were covered with Christ. And so that is the way that you stand up against the devil. And Paul says that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the evil one. Well, what are the wiles of the evil one? Well, the devil is a master trickster. The devil is a master strategist. The devil is a master counterfeiter. And so when the devil comes to you, he comes as a shining light. He comes as an angel of light. And so it is very easy, if you don't know God's word and you're not covered in prayer, you're not covered by the blood of Jesus, it's very easy for the devil to trick you and to get you to do his bidding, to get you to fall to temptation. He comes to you with temptation. He comes to you speaking lies to your mind, and the battlefield is the mind. He came to Eve in the Garden of Eden and said, God did not tell you to stay away from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, did he? In other words, he always accuses God of being a liar. And so you have to understand that the devil is the master trickster, and when he tempts you, he will always make you think that God is not for you. He will make you think that God doesn't love you. He'll make you think that God is trying to withhold something from you in your life, that God is not for you, that really he is against you. And so it's very important to understand the enemy, understand how he works, and understand that his ways are ways of a trickster. His ways are ways that will always try to get you to deny God, get you away from your destiny, get you away from your calling. And so this is the plan, this is the strategy of the devil. These are the wiles of the evil one. And the devil cannot create anything on his own. He himself is a creative being. And so he is a counterfeiter. He has no ability to create like God our Father is the creator. But he is a master counterfeiter. And he can trick even the elect. He can trick everyone in the body of Christ, and he will continue to do so in your life until the last breath that you take on this earth. And so even in the last days, the Bible says that deceit will be one of the biggest challenges for us in the last days, because the devil will try to deceive people. He'll deceive masses of churches. He'll deceive masses of people in a whole country. And so the Antichrist, that will show up on the scene in the latter days, the last days. That Antichrist will be the master deceiver, and he will trick many people. He will deceive many people into taking the mark of the beast and to sign up, you might say, or join his kingdom. And so it's very important to put on that whole armor of God and cover yourself up with Jesus Christ. Then in verse 12, this is the foundation scripture for all spiritual warfare. Verse 12, Paul says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness, and against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." So that is the hierarchy, or the chain of command, you could say, for the devil's kingdom. The devil has a chain of command because he has many, many demons under him. He has many minions under him. And so the devil doesn't do everything by himself. He is just the master deceiver. He is the master strategist. And so Paul is saying our battle isn't against people. It's not against flesh and blood. What we're battling, when you battle with your children, your teenagers, when you battle with your wife or with your husband or somebody at work, or maybe even somebody in the church, when you're in a battle with them, you are in a spiritual battle. You're not battling their flesh and blood. Yes, they manifest, the demons and the behavior manifests in the way people treat you or the way they come against you, the way they talk about you, whatever, on the earthly scale. But our battle is against the demonic forces that are controlling that person's behavior. And so as you pray about some situation in your life and you pray about what's going on maybe with a particular person, don't get angry with that person. Don't get hateful and unforgiving with that person, because the battle isn't with that person's flesh and blood. The battle is in the demonic realm. The battle is with the demonic principalities and rulers of darkness and spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places that are controlling that person's behavior. Well, let's take these up each one individually. Principalities are the highest level in the demonic kingdom under the devil, and they control whole regions. They control whole countries, maybe even many countries put together. These principalities are agents of the devil that cover all of a region or all of a country. And so they have great demonic power, and they get people to act in corrupt ways. They get people to act in certain ways that are against the body of Christ and against God's teaching. And so whole nations can be given over to principalities that control the thinking and behavior and activity of the people in that nation. And then second under them is the powers, and powers carry out the demonic orders of the principalities. So powers are under the principalities, and they also control whole regions, whole nations, whole counties, whole groups of people, maybe ethnic races of people or streams of people in a particular area, particular region. And then under that you have rulers of darkness, and these include lower level demonic entities that control demons. And then under the rulers of darkness, you have spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places, and that is the demons, the demonic realm. And there's billions of demons, individual demons that control people's behavior and torment every single person on the earth. Even Christians suffer from torment from demons. They suffer from depression. They suffer from despair. They suffer from lust. They suffer from stealing and lying. Christians aren't perfect. They're not sinless, and they too struggle with temptation. They struggle with giving in at times to pornography. They give in at times to sinful activity. And so these demons then attack people on an individual basis and carry out the work of the devil against a particular individual. So that individual, then it's a struggle for them to get up and go to church. It's a struggle for them to read the Bible. It's a struggle for them to pray. And all of these things that Christians know they should do and should be doing to advance the kingdom, they don't do because of the temptation and the struggle that the enemy puts in their heart and in their mind to take them away from their highest calling in the kingdom of God. Well, I'm going to go over to Matthew chapter 12. Turn there in your Bible, Matthew chapter 12, and talk about individual deliverance. We're going to start there today, talking about individual deliverance. Whatever problem you have in your life that you know is influenced by the devil, you're not demon possessed if you're a born again believer. The devil can't take over the Holy Spirit of God that abides in you, but you can be tormented, and you can be harassed, and you can be to the point where you're in despair because you're battling some kind of addiction. You're battling pornography, you're battling alcohol addiction or drugs, or battling just getting up and going to church. So you have individual torment and individual harassment from the enemy. And so in Matthew 12, verse 43, Jesus talks about this. He says, when an unclean spirit, that's a demonic spirit, he says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, He goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. Well, let me stop right there and say that unclean spirits generally don't leave on their own, but they can be cast out by someone with more authority and more anointing and more power than you. They can be cast out of you. Or if you are reading your Bible, unclean spirits, you can be delivered of those unclean spirits, and so they can be cast out even while you're sleeping or while you're reading the Bible, or maybe you enjoy listening to worship music, and those unclean spirits can be cast out by the anointing of a certain singer or the anointing of a certain group. That's why people love worship music, because there's a message that comes that is usually biblically based, should be anyway, biblically based, and the message then can deliver you. Demons can be driven out when people pray. Demons can be driven out when people go to rallies and to crusades and church revivals. And so the unclean spirit then can leave a person. It doesn't do so willingly, but it can be driven out by the authority and the anointing and the power of God that comes through prayer, that comes through worship service, comes through revival service, comes through listening to a good worship band or worship singer. And so the unclean spirit, it goes out and it goes into the dry places and it seeks rest, but it finds none. The reason it can't find any rest is because that isn't where the unclean spirit wants to be. The unclean spirit, the demonic spirit, wants to be harassing a person. It wants to be in the flesh of a person, harassing that person and taking over the flesh of that person, getting that person to give in to the temptations that they offer that person. And so the unclean spirit doesn't want to stay out in the place away from the person. The unclean spirit always seeks to find that home in a person's flesh, and then they want to go back. And then in verse 44, it says, "Then he says," that is the unclean spirit says, "I will return to my house from which I came." And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. So he goes back to that person from which he came. And he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. In other words, it looks like from the outside that things are pretty well put together. It looks like things are clean and swept and put in order. But what is missing is the Holy Spirit of God. What is missing is the Spirit of God that has a home and resides and abides in that person's spirit. And so, and also in that person's flesh, when you truly, truly have given in and given over to the kingdom of God, to Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, then the Spirit of God takes over your spirit, it takes over your soul, and that spirit also takes over your flesh. So the unclean spirit comes back, he looks around, he finds things swept, put in order, but then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. Well, the unclean spirit came in to look around, found no guard in place, found no Holy Spirit in place. So he went and found seven other demonic spirits, more wicked than himself, more evil than himself, and he comes back to that home from which he left. He comes back to that place that he wants to enter in, and it says now that the unclean spirit with the seven others, so now you have eight that are coming back to take over in that house, and he comes in and he dwells there because there's nothing powerful enough to keep him out, to keep him from coming in and dwelling there. And there's nothing powerful enough to keep the seven other more wicked than himself from coming in and dwelling there. And then Jesus said, "And the last state of that man is worse than the first." And so Jesus said, "So shall it also be with this wicked generation." In other words, he's saying this wicked generation, you're going to be dogged by demon spirits. You're going to battle with demon spirits. And so he says, that's the way it's going to be, and that's the way it is. If you're listening to me today and you're battling with an addiction, you're battling with pornography, or you're battling with drug addiction or alcohol or something, maybe it's lust, maybe it's just stealing or lying, you can't tell the truth about your life, that spirit is going to stay with you until you cast it out once and for all through the power of God. You cast it out once and for all, and you establish the kingdom of God in your life to where there is no way that when that spirit comes back that it can get a hold and enter into your life. When the devil came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 4, the devil tempted Jesus out in the wilderness, and Jesus said at another point in scripture, he said, the devil has nothing in me, that the devil can't get his hooks in me, the devil can't get his claws in me, the devil can't get any beachhold or stronghold in my life because he has nothing in me, because Jesus had no sin, he had no place for the devil to attach. And so that is our goal in life as a born-again believer, as a child of God. We need to sanctify ourselves. Sanctification is a process of cleansing. It's a process of becoming more like Jesus. We have been predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so we need to keep moving in that direction, go higher and higher in the kingdom, and try to become like Jesus Christ, so the devil has no place to latch onto us and establish a foothold, establish a stronghold, and take us down and away from our destiny in the kingdom of God. Well, that's just a small bit of the subject on spiritual warfare. We're going to take up more of this next week. And so I hope you join us next week, because there's going to be lots of good information, lots of good revelation, and teaching that will strengthen you in your Christian walk. Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We invite you to partner with us. We invite you to support us. Sit down today, write out a check, write us out a letter, let us know you're listening. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to continue to teach you with these radio broadcasts. So help us keep these broadcasts on the air and the Africa missions going. And we thank the Lord for that. Stay tuned for contact information coming up at the end of this broadcast. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.